for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 6th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Spirit of Haughtiness.
I'm one of these people that like to get it and get it over with. I've always had a problem with church. They say, well, we're just going to be here all night. Well, count me out. I can lay and meditate on my bed. No, that's a part of being haughty and high-minded, which is what I have been. In fact, the message that I'm going to share with you is a message given to my heart. It really came out of me. For years, I've been repenting over eye scriptures, and I now know I'm going to be healed, but there's lots of things God wants to teach me. But a haughty spirit is tied in with eye problems and all kinds of problems, all kinds of problems. But that's what I want to share today. And when the Lord, I begin recently, because I've repented over the scriptures on pride, haughty, arrogance, et cetera, I started repenting over the definitions of those words. And I saw that pride is a feeling, but haughty is a thing that lifts itself up. It's like a principality over pride. And of course, we know that Satan is king over all the sons of pride. Now, some of you might have thought when Kernan was teaching on water spirits, like, water spirits? And then after he got in the Word to show you all the places in the Word of God there were water spirits, it caused you to know there are water spirits. And then Kyle and I were talking the other day, and we were just saying, you know, 70% of your body is water. Is that correct? Yeah. Big portion of your body is composed of water. And it talks about in Isaiah 27 that Leviathan sports in the water, and he's awakened by cursing. Other people cursing us, or us cursing other people with our words. And of course, a haughty spirit has to do with raising yourself up high, putting yourself in a high position, instead of taking humble means to depress. It means to be low. It means to take a low seat. And when I said depressed, when I saw that definition of depressed, I thought depression, God don't want us to be depressed. But it means to depress yourself, keep yourself down, take a lowly seat. And I guess this spirit probably has been the biggest stronghold in my life. And I can tell you, I'm embarrassed. Because when God really showed me the implications of haughtiness, I was so ashamed of myself. And I'm not trying to draw attention to myself in this message, but it was really a word to me, and I trust it's going to be a word to you. Another thing the Lord showed us about water spirits the other day when we were talking is that the Bible says the serpent pours forth water like a flood against the woman who is the church to try to sweep her away with deception. And then the disciples said, Lord, tell us when will be the sign of your coming. He said, it'll be just like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark and there was a flood. Well, we know that God promises us that he will never destroy the earth again with water. But the water is a spiritual water like the flood. It's the flood of lies and deception coming over the earth. And if you're a TV watcher, I know you might not like to hear this, but let me tell you, the flood is coming over the news media. It's coming over the internet. And people are being swept away. The church is hysterical. Oh, no, they're going to do this. Oh, no, they're going to do that. Let me tell you something. We better, like Richard said, get our eyes on Jesus. And then Kyle, last week in church, he taught on tire, and he taught on tire here. I was so convicted. I mean, I thought, boy, he's preaching a message right to his mother. So I went home. I said, Kyle, I don't want to be like Tyre anymore. And I pulled up all the scriptures on Tyre and repented over all those Tyre scriptures. I said, I don't want to be that way anymore. And you know what? You're going to see a difference in me. Every time you see me, I'm going to be different. Because this thing is not gone yet, but it is going. In Jesus' name. The other night, I told Jean and Kernan and Carla and Don and Ada, I said, I have got a water spirit swimming around here in my shoulder, and you need to get it out. I hate to say, but it's closer to the surface. It's still there. And I know when God shows me what He's trying to show me, and He gets this the pride out of my life, then it'll be gone. And I know that God has got so much to teach all of us. And so I want to humble myself before you today. I want to put on meekness. God says, put on meekness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with humility. You know, it's a choice. You know, we say, oh, God, make me humble. God says, humble yourself. It's a choice to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, Jesus said. I told the Lord the other day, I said, oh God, I don't ever want to be this way again. Please, Lord, every time that thing starts to rear up in me, I pray you will convict me. And so many times now, I'll start to rear up. And the Lord, and that's that thing, Ramadan. Lord says, take a low seat, get off your high horse. So many of you have said, well, I've been delivered from Jezebel, and I've been delivered from Leviathan. And I can tell you, years ago, I went out to California, and there was a man named Harold Dewberry was teaching. And he said, there's three people in this meeting that is having pain in their tailbone. And I was one of those three. He said, it's the spirit of Leviathan. Well, it was cast out. The pain left. But I believe that it's a bigger thing. There are spirits of Leviathan, there are spirits of Python, there are spirits of Jezebel. Every time you rear up and get on your high horse, guess who? Jezebel is riding your high horse. It's something that you have to keep submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to keep denying yourself to put that thing down. And the more we deny ourselves, as Jean said, the more we decrease, the more God increases in us. The more we increase in our life, the more we let Leviathan increase. And you know, other names for Leviathan and Python and Jezebel and Antichrist, it's Satan's behind all of it. He's behind all of it. You know, the Satan in Ezekiel 28, it says Satan is king of the king of Tyre is Satan. And if we let him be king of our life, we're manifesting pride and arrogance and impotence and insolence and rudeness and hatred and not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit comes through when we are dead to ourself. And when we let Jesus live through us. And so, anyway, the message is on a spirit of haughtiness. And I trust if you'll be honest, you can say it's working in you. The scripture says it's better to be patient rather than haughty. Kyle is so nice to me, and he's never said that, but he could tell you that impatience has been my worst sin in my whole life. I can be so patient with you, with your stuff. As long as you're repentant, I can be patient with you. And say, who in the world do I think I am? The only reason I might repent in an area is because God gave me every gift I have. When we rear ourselves up, we're really saying, you know, God, I'm just so great. And all these other people down here, they just, you know, they need to get with a program like me. That's basically when you judge others, that's what you're saying, because any good thing in you, God gave you. And anytime we exalt ourselves, we're really putting God down and minimizing His greatness. Making ourselves great, lifting ourselves up, wanting to be noticed, wanting to be a blabbermouth. Dear Lord, you know, the Bible says that Samuel, not one word he spoke fell to the ground. I want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be a hot air balloon anymore. You know, his words didn't fall to the ground because he used the word of God. Anytime I stand up and I'm just blabbering and I'm just going on and I'm not using the word of God, my words are falling to the ground. And I've done it. We've all done it. We've all been haughty. If we want to be honest, we've all been haughty. And I know that God wants to set us free. But the Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with humility. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. It's something that we have to choose to do. God don't do it for us. The grace is there to overcome. When Jesus died at Calvary, he made provision for us that we would be sanctified. And you know, the Bible says that deliverance means, salvation. One of the words for salvation means deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. All of us are a work in progress. Every last one of us. And so we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God has already provided the way for us to do that. But it's through humility. So many years I've known God has put such a calling on my life, but I'm thinking, Lord, what's blocking? What's blocking? It's his haughty spirit that's been blocking. He sees the haughty from afar. Those that humble themselves get exalted. If you exalt yourself, you don't get humbled. I mean, you get humbled. Big time. And the stronger will you are, the more it's going to take to break us. You may be like me. I never really realized that being haughty was rebellion. I just didn't get it. But it's rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And rebellion, haughtiness is the opposite of humility. And impatience, if it's better to be patient than haughty. Anytime you're impatient, you're rearing up in haughtiness. And I can be real patient with you until you tread on my time or my time schedule. And God really, the other day I was at the bank and I'm ashamed of myself. I mean, I was trying to be good. I had three puppies in the car and it was 100 degrees outside. My car was still cold enough that they were okay. It seemed like I was in there an hour, but it's probably 5 minutes because of being impatient. And so I was standing there at the bank counter and I had an $875 cashier's check. And so I just was standing there and the girl was fiddling around and looking at the check. And I was at the branch part of the bank. I usually go to the bank and go to the drive-in window, but I was at the grocery store branch. And I was standing there and I was aware of being nice and being patient. I was being aware of it. And after it seemed like about 20 minutes, I said, you know, can't you just charge that back to my bank account if it's no good? Just charge it back. Oh, no. And she was looking at it and she was turning it over. And then she called the bank and wanted the number of the bank out in California that issued the cashier's check. And I was trying to be patient inside. And finally I said, look here, I've been banking at this bank for 25 years. And then I was so convicted. And so when I left, I said, please forgive me. I said, the Lord's been whipping my rear end over being prideful and being haughty. Would you please forgive me? And of course, they were gracious and they did. And I got in the car and I realized I did not pass the test. I'd been trying to pass the test. And then I was saying, well, Lord, why is it that I can't stand to wait? I mean, why do I have to do anything quickly and impulsively? And why do I have to do everything so quick? And why does it bother me to wait? Lord, that has a root to it. I can be patient in lots of areas, but in that area, I'm haughty. And, of course, the Lord showed me that growing up, you know, we had a gas station, a grocery store, a laundry, a gas company, and we always had to wait for Mom and Dad. We waited, we waited, we waited, we waited. So you turn to an idol, I can't wait. And then you sets in motion that God puts you around all these stupid people, slow, stupid, da, da, da. Does that sound arrogant? Oh, God. Honestly, and I'm not trying to draw attention to myself, but after I saw this, I thought, I don't know how people have stood me. Anyway, please forgive me again. Please forgive me again. I'm going to get better. You're not going to see this thing anymore by God's grace. Anyway, Galatians 5 tells us to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 6 says, we died with Christ and we are to reckon ourselves dead. And it is not a one-time reckoning, it's a continuous walk of denying yourself. And any time I deny myself, I let Christ rule through me, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Every time I operate in the flesh and I rear up, it produces the works of the flesh, and I'm letting Satan rule. And he's king over the sons of pride. And I think he swims around in the water. You know, the Spirit, it says, for a long time I couldn't understand, and I'm not sure about this, but maybe Kernan can confirm it, or the Lord will confirm it, or put it on your shelf. But if we're 70% of water, and Leviathan sports around in the water, and spirits are breath, a spirit is a breath, it's swimming around in the water. And we awaken it through our words. And see, a haughty spirit always has to do with words, usually. Pride just kind of is an inside thing. And a haughty thing has to do with words, really words that fall to the ground. Okay, Romans 6 through 1, if you'll go there. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Problem is, we're supposed to be in the coffin and we're kicking the lid off. We're supposed to be dead to ourselves. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. He who is dead is freed from sin. He who denies himself is freed from sin. 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in me does not sin. And abide means to stay under God's authority. It means to obey. Now, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that your words will be like goads, like well-driven nails to target hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will not let a spirit of Python, Leviathan, Jezebel, or any Antichrist spirit block us from hearing what it is that you want us to hear. I pray, Lord, that because, Lord, I choose death to myself. You said that if I choose death, I work life in your people because it's your power that's being manifested. And I pray, Lord, that you will drive this word home in all of our lives, in Jesus' name, more so in my life, Lord. For when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it takes death to self to be free from sin. In other words, in that instance where you're walking in the Spirit, it takes death to sin, death to yourself to be free from sin. That doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again, but it means in that moment of choosing, you're walking in the Spirit and you choose. Because haughtiness is rooted in pride and rebellion, it's the characteristic of Satan. And when I really saw, and when Kernan said, water spirits work with a spirit of haughtiness, I went, oh, Lord, I'm in the need of prayer. But also, it works with the spirit of Python, which Python, Leviathan, Jezebel, Antichrist, divination, really are words for Satan. You can have those things cast out of you, but yet you still got to deal with dying to your flesh and not letting Satan be king over your life in any area. It's a process, and it'll go on until you enter eternity. The foolishness thing is many people in the church never deal with their stuff. And as I said before, sanctification is a lifelong process. And so we call it deliverance, but really it's sanctification. Jesus already paid the price for it. We're never perfect when we get saved. Oh, dear God. You know, I can honestly tell you that for 50 years, when I came to the Lord, I came to Him with all my heart. God just so transformed me 50 years ago. But I've been a work in progress. I can honestly tell you there has not been one day in 50 years that I've ever backslid or have not wanted everything that God had for me. So don't think that a believer that's under the Lordship of Jesus, that God's already finished everything. You've got to work it out, and it is a lifelong process of peeling the onion. It's like peeling an onion. Haughtiness can jump out and bite like a snake out of a pit, and can be like a viper out of a pit, using words to lift yourself up and to devour people. This serpent is awakened through cursing, through the power of words. Psalms 104:26 says, "There go the ships, and the tongue is a rudder." Right? Does it say in James, "The tongue is a rudder, who can tame it?" And the rudder of the tongue directs the ship whichever direction. Is that correct? It's interesting to note that the ship's in the water. Now, I don't quite understand all of this, but the scripture says in James that no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. You cannot tame your tongue, but you can get your heart purified. And the more purified your heart is, the more purified your words will be. That's the only way the tongue can be controlled, is to deal with what's down in your heart that's causing you to keep speaking those same things. Does that make sense? And when you deal with whatever root thing that's down there in your heart of why you keep saying the same things you're saying, or thinking the same things you're thinking, because out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Lord, why am I thinking that? Lord, why is this that I keep saying this? And then deal with the root cause of it, and then you will speak pure words in that area. But you can't just tame the tongue by going, "I've tried it, believe me." Nailed a board over it. And then you take it so long and the board goes kaboom and blows off. Back in my earlier years, you know, wives can win a husband without a word. Oh, Lord. I just want to say this. The things you can't stand about your wife, go back to your mother and daddy. The things you can't stand about your husband, go back to mom and dad. No use trying to tell them what they need to do to make you happy. They don't get it. You know, I have, not Kyle, but I have family members that I can say, "Hey, you need to call me more. Hey, you need to pay more attention to me. You need to fellowship with me." They wouldn't get it. It'd go right over their head. Why? Because it's idolatry. Your idols are like Psalms 135 says. Your idols have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They just don't get it. So the best thing to do is go in your prayer closet and say, "Lord, how is this thing that's raining on my parade, how does that relate back to my childhood?" And the Lord just loves to show you. I used to go in the other room instead of doing that. "I can't believe it's the man I'm living with." I used to go in the bathroom and start binding the devil. And he didn't bind. It says Leviathan laughs at the ravening of the javelin. Because, see, when you're in pride, through pride comes contention. Obadiah says your pride has deceived you. I've been so deceived, and I can say so have you. We have been so deceived. Oh God, open our eyes and let us see. A haughty spirit finds it difficult to tolerate other people's character flaws. Are you like that? Do you have a critical heart, a critical spirit that ties in with haughtiness, intolerance? You know, I can be tolerant with your sin, but when it comes to my family or when it comes to people I'm ministering to, as long as I think you're repentant, boy, I'm telling you, I can just work right with you. But I have been so intolerant of people, I'm thinking, I'm not going to waste my time on it. And it really doesn't do any good to waste your time, but it's this attitude, I'm not going to waste my time on those people. That's what I'm talking about. God don't want you to waste your time on rebellious people. He don't want you to be financing your kids that are into drugs and alcohol and everything else. All you're doing is prolonging your agony. You got to get delivered before they'll get delivered. But it's that haughty attitude that manifests itself in haughty, critical, sarcastic words. I have to be so careful because I can give a sarcastic answer to everything. Have you been like that, or am I been the only one like that? Most often when we speak of others, it's because we're defending our own pride. People elevate themselves by stepping on other people. Selfish ambition. And you know, that's something that I'm praying that God would keep out of this camp. Is because where there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there's ever evil work. God is doing wants to do such a holy, pure thing here at this camp, because honestly, even though we've got a lot of things wrong with us and we're all a work in progress, I don't know of another place in America where you can come and be accepted and be loved and have people love you enough to spend hours to pray for you and not be putting demons on you. Most places, there is a counterfeit church. And I'm going to say this, most out there is counterfeit because they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not teaching you to deal with sin. Haughtiness and a sharp tongue go together. It's like a viper's tongue. You know, Jesus said, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what's good? In Proverbs, it says, he who guards his tongue guards his soul and from troubles. Another scripture says, pride, haughty, scoffer are all his names who acts with insolent pride. The Psalms also equate haughtiness with evil speech. Psalms 101 warns that God punishes the slanderer and does not endure haughtiness. It says that whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. And no one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. You know, the big, tall, hardy cedar trees are usually the ones that get chopped down the quickest. That's where that expression comes, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Because when we exalt ourselves, we can just count on being humbled. I have a precious little sister that God finally gave me my little sister back. But God had to bring her to the absolute rock bottom before she would even listen. Now she tells me she's thankful that she's got me to walk through things with her, when years ago, I hate you. It was that demon that was in her through New Age, being involved in the New Age movement. You know, there is so much New Age out there, you better be so careful. The Bible says that God's eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. So if we wonder why our ministry has not improved, and we haven't gone all the places we thought we were going to go, or do all the things we thought we were going to do, it's God's got to get that haughty thing out of us where He can exalt us. He can't trust us with the haughtiness. You know, so many times we can be someplace and somebody will start sharing about someone who, and we've all done this, I've done it too, we'll start sharing about, well, what we think's wrong with so-and-so instead of defending that person. As, hey, being a work in progress, we all, who do we think we are? And when I first came to this camp, I had to apologize to somebody that I had talked about behind their back. And I'm not going to do that anymore. From now on, if I have anything to say, I'm going to say it to that person. And that's what we need to do. And when Diane asked people, or she felt the Lord telling her that people need to get things right with each other, I know there's people here that have ought against other people, and they need to make things right. God says, if your brother has ought against you, You don't have any ought against him, but just say, I mean, it works both ways. But if your brother has ought against you, you're to go to your brother and get right with him and then come bring your gift to the altar. That's what the Word of God says. Years ago, God made me call some people, and I thought it was their fault. But the Lord made, when I read that scripture, the Lord made me call some people and apologize to them. One lady said, "Well, I wondered when you were going to wake up. And I wanted to get back in there and say something, but I didn't." You know, you can get back into another scenario if you're not careful. Or when you're trying to get things right and anger is still manifesting in you. God says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Wherever you have anger, you have a hurt, you have an idol. It's linked to a hot wire. And pride really shows a lack of love. And God's new covenant says that we fulfill His law when we love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, body, neighbor as ourself. And you know what? We all should have the motive that we're all working for God's kingdom. All of us. Not working for our own kingdom to build our own kingdom, but we're working to build God's kingdom. Haughty spirit controls us and dictates to other spirits such as pride, perfection, accusation, competition, mockery, stubbornness, self-righteousness, gossip, boastful, sarcastic, critical to operate in people's lives. You know what? If we're wanting God to use us, we can't be stubborn. We've got to humble ourselves, even if we think it's the other person's fault, and we probably usually do. Definitions of haughtiness is haughtiness and arrogance is overbearing pride evidenced by superior manner toward inferiors. Arrogance, high-mindedness, lordiness, superbia, pride means unreasonable and inordinate self-esteem personified as one of the deadly sins. It's condescension, disdainfulness, supercilious is the trait of displaying arrogance by patronizing, displaying or indicating an offensively condescending manner, accompanied by a gentle pat on the back towards those considered inferior. Contemptuousness, you know, I can say that I've always reached out to people and never walked around thinking, oh, I'm better than them. I've never thought that. But you know, anytime you judge somebody, that's really what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? Domineeringness, imperiousness, overbearingness, controlling others, the trait of being imperious and overbearing, hubris, overbearing pride and presumption. Superiority, displaying a sense of being better than others, manifesting outwardly or silently within the heart. Snobbery, snobbishness, snobberism, the trait of condescending to those of lower social status. The Greek and Hebrew words translated haughty and haughtiness have the basic meaning of causing oneself to appear high, exalted, lofty, eminent, where pride is just a feeling. Pride feels it, and haughtiness does it. One who's haughty is in his own self-esteem, superior, lifted up above his fellow man. As a result, such a person usually claims honor and attention beyond what is due and treats others with disrespect and insolence. And I think this can really manifest sometimes in just being a hot air balloon and just wanting to talk. It's, you know, this blabbermouth spirit comes right out of pride. Doesn't benefit anybody from anything they hear. It's of no benefit. It's defiling. Haughtiness is a condition of the heart. It's deeper than mental conclusion. And Jesus named it along with murder, thievery, blasphemy, and other wrongdoings in Matthew chapter 7. And Mother Mary said of Jesus, that he has scattered abroad those who are haughty in the intentions of their heart. David appeared to Jehovah saying, my heart is not been haughty. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. King Uzziah, he lived well in 2 Corinthians, Chronicles 26, 3 through 5. He ruled well and enjoyed Jehovah's blessings for many years, but he became proud. As soon as he was strong in his heart, he became haughty, even to the spirit point of causing ruin, so that he acted unfaithfully against Jehovah his God. And then, of course, Uzziah, he lifted himself up to perform priestly duties when he wasn't allowed to do that, and God struck him with leprosy. And he was a leper till he died. Another was King Hezekiah. You know, he failed to give God glory for God's benefits toward him. He failed to appreciate and to recognize that all credit should be gone to God. But according to the benefit rendered him, and this is in 2nd, let's see, I don't have the scripture. Yeah, it's in 2nd Chronicles 32. But according to the benefit rendered him, Hezekiah made no return, for his heart became haughty, and there came to be indignation. God was indignant toward him and against Judah and Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled himself for the haughtiness of his heart. And Lord, I want to do that now. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Jehovah's indignation did not come on him during his reign. God opposed haughtiness. Not only is haughtiness distasteful to others, but you know, you can see it in other people. But Python Leviathan has you deceived and you don't see yourself. God, we ask you right now, we bind all spirits of self-deception, all spirits that have lied to us and deceived us in Jesus' name about the condition of our heart. We bind every demon and command every demon out of us that keeps us from seeing our sin. Seeing us in Jesus' name. Leave now in the name of Jesus. You have to go. All deceiving spirits, all water spirits, get out of here in Jesus' name. Get out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for cursing others. Forgive us for not speaking life with our mouths. Forgive us for speaking death with our tongues in the name of Jesus. And we forgive people that have spoken death word curses over us. And we just to say, a Leviathan, we put you down. You will not be awakened. We command you to roll over and die in Jesus' name. If we're not forsaken, haughtiness is sure to bring destruction, as it brought destruction on the nation of Moab. Moab means pride and apostasy. In guarding against haughtiness, a person should therefore watch to keep haughtiness out of his heart. He should be especially on guard when he has achieved something. I want to read a scripture that I forgot to read. Isaiah 14:10. It says, it's speaking of Satan, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as wheat? Art thou not become like us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. You know, when I was looking up the definitions of haughty, there was many definitions: to be high, to be lofty, to be preeminent, to be lift yourself up, to be critical. But one of the Hebrew words for haughty was to breed worms. This could be the root of parasites. Why? Because Satan is Lord of the flies. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I, this haughty thing is selfish, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms? And see that Satan exalts himself. You see that haughtiness of raising himself up. Go back to my place.
Pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before stumbling. You can mark it down just like the law of gravity says, whatever you throw up comes down, whatever you exalt will be brought low. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I just want to say this to add this to Gene's message on the cost, the price to pay for the anointing is you lose relationships of people, maybe for a season, of people that are not ready to hear what the anointing wants to bring forth. There's a price to pay. So many times you've been like me, you've grieved for years. What in the world am I doing wrong, Lord? Not that I'm so anointed. I'm not claiming that. But if there's just a touch of anointing, it's Jesus. And if you're not a compromiser, people like to be around people that are more fun. For among them are those holding to a form of godliness, these people that hold to a form of godliness but deny the power. That word power is not signs and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit. If you look up that word in the Greek, it means the power adherent to a repentant lifestyle. That's where the power comes in. Is the more we repent, the more power we have, the more knowledge of God's Word we have. Proverbs says knowledge increases power. And it's the knowledge of God's Word, not the knowledge of the world. For among them are those who enter households and captivate weak women, weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So if we want God to honor us, we're going to have to humble ourselves, and it's a choice. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is the name who deals in his insolent, proud wrath. Isaiah 3:16, moreover the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, there's the root to eye problems right there, walking and mincing as they go. And we need Diane here to show people what a mincing step. One day in the ladies' retreat, she said a mincing step is walking like this, but she does it better than I do. Stretch forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go. It's really like a flirtatious walk. Praise God, I haven't been that. I haven't been flirtatious. That's one that don't apply to me. Okay, Isaiah 10. It says, behold, the Lord of hosts shall go lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. Isaiah 24:4, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Ezekiel 16:50, and they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Zephaniah 3:11, in that day shall you not be ashamed for all your doings, wherein you were transgressed, you've transgressed against me. Then I will take away out of the middle of you them that rejoice in your pride, and you shall no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. You know, the king of Tyre, and as Kyle taught on Tyre, you know, they were perfect in beauty. They were impenetrable, and they were accomplished, and they took pride in it. Not that there's anything wrong with accomplishing things, but it's when we look to those things more than we look to the Lord. And the Bible says, who may enter, ascend to the hill of the Lord, those with pure hands and a clean heart, those that let God purify them. And you know, even when Jesus is Lord of our life, he may let us rest a little bit and he'll show us something else. Don't let your sin pile up. Deal with it. Because when calamity hits this earth, it's going to be too late. There's going to be many, many church members destroyed because they thought they were the bride of Christ. So you have a choice. You can choose God's armor or His shield, which is humility, or Satan's armor. It says that his ornaments are ornaments of pride. You can choose God's ornaments or you can choose Satan's ornaments. Last time I was here, I taught a message on God's ornaments or ornaments of pride. And in Genesis 33, God tells the children of Israel, His people, because you're stubborn and rebellious, take off my ornaments. So if we're stubborn and rebellious and too prideful to get it right with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, then we've got the wrong ornaments on. You can choose God's protection or you can choose Satan's. Leviathan's protection. One of the words for Leviathan, when it says his strong scales or his scales of pride, means shield. So we can choose the shield of faith or we can use the shield of Leviathan. And you know, I've come out of generations of people that were you know, when you have self-protection, maybe you grew up and not being protected, so you've only been able to trust yourself. And then you hear what's going on in the world and you're hysterical. And you've been trusting yourself and you think, dear Lord, I can't save myself. And you've been using, if you've been trusting yourself to protect yourself, you've been trusting Leviathan's shield, his strong scales or his scales of pride. You can manifest Jesus, His character and nature through being dead to yourself. Or you can be alive to yourself and manifest the character and nature of Satan. And you can see the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. It says, if you practice those things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's a walk of the Spirit through dying to our flesh, or we can walk in the flesh through being alive to it. We can choose God's ornaments or Satan's ornaments of pride. You can choose God's strength or your own strength or the strength of something else. Drugs. You can operate in the Holy Spirit or you can operate in the unholy spirit. You can be fruitful or fruitless, depending on what you're submitting to. You can have God's glory or you can have shame and dishonor by trusting Lucifer. You can choose God's anointing or you can choose an unholy anointing. You can choose God's covering, or you can let the anointed cherub who covers, who is Satan, cover you. You can choose God's armor or Satan's armor. And I trust that if you'll be honest with yourself, you can see most of us have lived after our flesh. My parents' motto was, the Lord help those that help themselves. Self-made people. So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you the areas where you've been haughty, where you've exalted yourself, where you've judged others, where you've lifted yourself high because you've been operating with Satan, Leviathan, Jezebel. And don't tell me that you've been delivered from Jezebel when you're still on your high horse. So we have to keep her off there through dying to our flesh. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members, Lord, as instruments of righteousness. Lord, I have reared up in haughtiness and arrogance. I have been a blabbermouth. I have wasted words. My words have fell to the ground. I've just been rattling because of pride and arrogance. God, I don't want another word I speak to fall to the ground. Lord, I want to love my neighbor as myself. And God, I don't want to be prideful and haughty anymore. Lord, I choose to put on meekness. I choose to clothe myself with humility. I choose to make no provision for the flesh any longer in my life. And Lord, I ask you to come deep within my heart and root out these evil spirits from me and Jerry in Jesus' name. Father, I ask for the truth. that sets us free. I just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then when you're through, sit down and we'll do a group deliverance. Show me where I've been impatient, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to say also that pride, Leviathan, manifest in neck problems, shoulder problems. The other day I was feeling like my teeth weren't comfortable, and I looked up all the scriptures on bridle and harness and everything I could think of. It also has to do with, it says, can you put a rope in his nose? Can you put a hook in his jaw? Could be jaw problems. All kinds of problems. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take accountability for everything you've shown me. I break in Jesus' name every satanic vow, oath, and covenant that my forefathers spoke over me, or that was spoken over them, giving them to Satan Lucifer, which would cause me to be a possession of Satan Lucifer. I break all satanic vows, oaths, and covenants, Freemasonry, and all the works of secret societies, all the curses of Illuminati. I break in the name of Jesus all words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, satanic rituals. Everybody pray. Spoken over me and my descendants. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants that the power would go to the firstborn son, and if there's no firstborn son, there'd be a firstborn daughter. I break that in Jesus' name. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants that if anyone in this satanic bloodline comes to Christ, it'll be met with upheaval, disease, sickness, death, poverty, upheaval, calamity, affliction, and we wouldn't even know what was happening to us. We break in Jesus' name every satanic vow, oath, and covenant that if anyone in Satan's, this satanic family's bloodline comes to Christ, it'll be met with every curse in the Word of God. We declare contrarily instead of every curse, because I make you the Lord and Master of my life, Lord Jesus. I make a new covenant with you, canceling out every satanic vow, oath, and covenant, declaring that every covenant made by anyone in my bloodline is now canceled in the name of Jesus, because I'm in a new covenant with you, Lord Jesus, to be your possession. I bind every gatekeeper, every watchman over this bloodline in Jesus' name. I break the power of every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual, spoken over anybody I've named, spoken by anybody I've named, spoken by anybody in this room. Every curse, we cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual that's been spoken over anybody in this room. We break the power of cursing. Lord, we bless every person in this room. We bless them, the going in, they're coming out. We bless them in the city. We bless them in the country. We bless them with humility in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, familiar spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, Python in the name of Jesus. We break, renounce, Python, Leviathan, Jezebel, Antichrist, divination, Satan in the name of Jesus. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. We break soul ties with all of our forefathers in the name of Jesus. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We change their image for the image of Christ. All familiar spirits of pride, arrogance, egotism, haughtiness, rudeness, sarcasm, critical tongue, sharp tongue, sarcastic tongue, come out. We command all spirits of haughtiness, superciliousness, come out in Jesus' name. We break the power of self-exaltation, self-defense, self-help. In Jesus' name, self-importance, we break the power of independence. We command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we break the power of all pride, destruction, haughty spirit. Go in Jesus' name. We break the power of anger, bitterness, resentment, rebellion. Go in Jesus' name. We break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. We break the power of blindness,
eye problems. We break the power of Moab in Jesus' name. We break the power of ogling eyes, this daughters of Zion walking with missing steps and ogling eyes in Jesus' name. We break the power of that. We break your power over every person in this room. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for everything you've shown us. Remind us, Lord, every time we get on our high horse. Remind us every time we rear up in pride and impatience. We command the impatient spirit to go in Jesus' name. We break your power. Spirits of rudeness, go. Spirits of pride that keeps us from going and making it right with our brothers and sisters. We break the power of pride that's hindered our ministries in Jesus' name. We break the power of pride that's caused God to see us from afar. We break the power of pride that has caused God to bring us low in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for letting our position go to our head. We break the power of jealousy, self-ambition. In Jesus' name, we break your power in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We come against eye problems, skin problems, water spirits. All water spirits that are swimming around in us, get out in Jesus' name. We break your power. King of Tyre, come out of us in Jesus' name. We break your power over us in the mighty name of Jesus. You come out in Jesus' name. Praise you. Inferiority, which is pride. Rejection, which is pride. Fear of being rejected, which is pride. Blabbermouth, because I'm full of pride and want to talk. That demon that wants to talk and speak words that are useless to people, get out in Jesus' name. Spirits of self-consciousness, come out. Selfishness, lovers of self, disobedience to parents, rebellion to authority, come out of us in Jesus' name. Self-made man, self-made woman, get out. All demons of Freemasonry, come out in Jesus' name. We take off all of Satan's armaments in Jesus' name. Forgive us for stubbornness and rebellion, Lord, that's made us turn in our ornaments. Lift your hands. Lord, I want your ornaments. You said, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it's a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck, Lord. We command all rebellion that has caused us to lose God's ornaments. Get out of us in Jesus' name. Antichrist spirit, Jezebel spirit, Leviathan, get out. Python, get out. Divination, get out. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Hiram Abiff, get out in Jesus' name. We break your power. We phallic worship, we break your power. False prophecy, come out in Jesus' name. Counterfeit, all terror spirits, get out in Jesus' name. All gnashing of teeth, come out. Lord, forgive me. I've been like a senseless horse or mule that's had to have a bit and bridle in my mouth to keep me in check. I cut that bridle in Jesus' name. I break it in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel released, lift your hands. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And Lord, I come under your yoke. I ask you to break off. This could be the root of neck problems. A yoke of iron. God says in Deuteronomy, it can be coming down generationally from forefathers that were rebellious, disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments. He said, I'll put an iron yoke on your neck and you'll serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things. And I'll put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. God, we take accountability for the generational iniquities of the forefathers, of disobedience to your voice and your commandments, that would cause you to put an iron yoke on our neck.
And Lord, we want that yoke off. In Jesus' name, we take the sword of the Spirit, we cut it off, and Lord, we lift your hands. Lord, I ask you to bring down your yoke from heaven that's light and easy, and I find rest for my soul. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Lord, fill me up. As Kyle said, I don't want to be half full anymore. I want to be full of you, Lord, full of your Holy Spirit and your power. Praise you, Lord. And the people that are not ready to hear will not want to be around you. You might as well get used to it. Quit thinking, what in the world is wrong with me? How many of you have done that? I've done that for 20 years. Lord, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? God, what's wrong with me? Praise the Lord. But the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those that are saved and those that want to be saved, will be eager to hear what you have to say. Praise the Lord. I never have a dog customer that never does not ready to receive the Lord. They want to hear. But most people have been turned off by church members that act just like the world. If you're still acting just like the world, you need to get saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We just decree and declare that and neutralize and make void all the additives, the poisonous additives, and the poisonous GMO ingredients that's been added to our food. We speak Mark 16 that we can eat poison and it won't kill us. And Lord, we thank you for food. We thank you for another day of plentiful food in America. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it, consecrate it. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's in the kitchen. We thank you. We pray a double blessing on those who are served here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are receive our food with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.